In the fourth chapter of the book of Zechariah, we find that the foundation of the temple had been laid by Zerubbabel. The work had ceased for a long time. The angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah with a word for Zerubbabel. And in verse 6, Zechariah tells us what the angel told him. It goes like this. He spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." These were words that would encourage Zerubbabel. He let him know that it would not be by his strength or by his might, but he was going to complete this work through the Spirit of God. And let me tell you, friend, this is the way that God intended for his New Testament church to be built, by his Spirit. What would the earth be without the sun? Cold, dark, empty, unlivable, floating in space? It would be nothing more than a lump of rock. So it is with the church. Without a focus on the Spirit of God in the church is much the same. It is the gravitational pull of the Holy Spirit that keeps the church in just the right place that it needs to be to give light, which will give life. When the church loses its focus on the Spirit of God, it becomes fragmented. It becomes concerned about things other than the things of God. It begins to drift off into space, out into the darkness, and provides no light, no life, no warmth, and therefore no growth. The invasion at Pearl Harbor, the assassination of JFK, the destruction of 9/11, these are world events that have made a significant impact on the life of our country and on the lives of the many individuals who live through them. They are significant, defining events. If you think about your own life, you will likely be able to identify an experience that you considered a defining moment. It could be a personal moment of revelation, a family tragedy, or perhaps even a world event that changed you in some essential way. The day of Pentecost, as recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2, was such an event, it changed the path of the church forever. Thousands were flocking to the church. In the place of "Caesar is Lord," now the cry was heard, "Christ is Lord," transforming lives that were confused by sin into lives that were filled with the overflowing of his strength and purity, bringing minds that were dark and dead, bringing them to the understanding of God's divine mysteries. If we would assume that the Holy Spirit began its work on the day of Pentecost, it would not be true. It is true that Pentecost marked the day that he came to begin his residence on earth, but it is also true that the Holy Spirit had worked with and through people during the early years of the Hebrew nation. Prior to Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was not poured out upon all flesh. However, during the time of the laws and prophets and judges, the Holy Ghost did come upon men to qualify them for special services. Before Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was given to men on special occasions to enable them to execute God's work. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31 tells us that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have called by name Bezaleel of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carvings of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. God had given Moses a plan for the new tabernacle. It was to be built according to God's plan. Even though Moses didn't know of anyone who was capable of building such a tabernacle as this, God told him, I picked out a man. I'm calling him by his name. I'm going to fill him with the Spirit of God, and I'm going to give him the knowledge, the wisdom, and the know-how. We all have heard that old commercial bragging about Napa know-how. Well, friend, Napa know-how cannot be compared to the know-how of the Holy Spirit. We also read about the Spirit of God coming upon men in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Ezekiel chapter 2, and chapter 3. These occasions were of a temporary nature. An illustration of this is found in Samuel, the 19th chapter. Saul had sent messengers to bring David to him, and when the messengers came to the company of prophets, the Spirit came upon them, and they also prophesied. Samson is another example, for we read that the Spirit of the Lord moved him at times. The Spirit of the Lord was not on him constantly, but there were times when the Spirit of God moved on him. Scriptures tell us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. During the Old Testament period, men were not baptized with the Holy Ghost. But before Pentecost, the Spirit of God was in the work in the earth, early in the history of the world, even before Moses, before Samson, before David, early in the history of the world, when the wickedness of man became evident. To turn man from his evil ways, God sent his Spirit, and for many years prior to the flood, the Spirit attempted to aid man in finding his way back to God. Then, as now, people turned a deaf ear to the pleading of the Spirit. God issued a warning in Genesis 6 and chapter 3, My Spirit will not always strive with man. We find here an early record of the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament church. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but I'd like to remind you of the time when Eldad and Medad was in the camp and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were prophesying. And Joshua, the servant of Moses, told Moses to forbid them from prophesying. Moses said, Are you jealous for me? I wish that all of God's people would prophesy. And then I read in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, in verse 29, Paul says, The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. The wish of Moses came true.